You're listening to an African Elements top news story for June 22, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why is the United States slashing South African HIV funding? Historically, international health aid has served as a powerful tool for global stability. In 2003, United States President George W. Bush introduced the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, PEPFAR. At that time, sub-Saharan Africa faced a devastating humanitarian crisis. Only 50,000 people across the region had access to life-saving antiretroviral drugs. Consequently, PEPFAR rapidly transformed this bleak reality. The program turned a terminal diagnosis into a manageable chronic condition. President Bush famously termed this remarkable recovery the Lazarus Effect. Over more than two decades, the initiative saved more than 25 million lives in 55 partner nations. It supported clinics, trained healthcare workers, and established laboratories. This program represented one of the most successful public health interventions in human history. South Africa remains the global epicenter of the HIV pandemic. Currently, more than 8 million South Africans live with the virus. This massive figure represents approximately 20% of the global HIV-positive population. It places a heavy burden on the national public health infrastructure. To combat this crisis, the South African government funds 90% of its own medicine procurement. However, PEPFAR has historically provided a crucial financial lifeline. The program contributed approximately 17% of the overall national HIV budget. This funding equated to more than $400 million annually. The money funded healthcare worker salaries, community organizations, and specialized clinics. Consequently, the sudden withdrawal of these funds threatens the entire healthcare infrastructure. To understand modern South African politics, one must examine the legacy of apartheid. Apartheid was a state-enforced system of racial segregation from 1948 to 1994. This system legally privileged the white minority over the black majority. It systematically locked black citizens out of business ownership, corporate leadership, and political power. Furthermore, the 1913 Natives Land Act reserved nearly 90% of agricultural land for the white minority. Following the transition to democracy, the African National Congress, ANC, implemented corrective policies. These policies included Black Economic Empowerment, BEE. The struggle of workers in South Africa remains deeply tied to these economic redistribution debates. In late 2024, the government passed the Expropriation Act to allow land seizure under strict circumstances. Although no private properties have been seized, conservative groups claim the policy targets white landowners. Racial tensions have been amplified by historical struggle songs. Dubul Ibhunu, or Kill the Boer, originated in township protests in the 1980s. The song targeted the oppressive apartheid state. In 1993, Peter Mokaba popularized the chant following the assassination of Chris Hanani. Today, critics argue the song incites violence against white farmers. In contrast, supporters maintain the song is a historical artifact representing the apartheid regime rather than individual white people. The South African Equality Court ruled in 2022 that the song does not constitute hate speech. However, Julius Malema, leader of the Economic Freedom Fighters, regularly performs the chant at political rallies. High-profile figures in the United States, including Elon Musk, shared clips of these events online. They accused South African leaders of promoting white genocide. This online discourse caught the attention of conservative lawmakers in Washington. Following the political shift in Washington in early 2025, the new administration altered foreign assistance guidelines. The administration implemented the America First framework. This framework transitioned global health partnerships into political bargaining chips. In January 2025, the administration froze USAID grants and PEPFAR funding to South Africa. Soon after, President Trump signed Executive Order 14204. This order accused Pretoria of discriminating against its white minority. To prevent an immediate health disaster, a temporary bridge plan of $115 million was established. This bridging plan sustained operations until early 2026. Finally, on June 18, 2026, the State Department confirmed a phased drawdown of PEPFAR programming. The administration plans to withdraw all funding by early 2027, citing a lack of policy progress by South Africa. The funding cuts are also deeply tied to global geopolitical rivalries. In late 2023, South Africa filed a case against Israel at the International Court of Justice. The petition accused Israel of violating the Genocide Convention in Gaza. This legal action drew sharp, bipartisan criticism from the United States Congress. Historically, South Africa's foreign policy is guided by solidarity with oppressed populations. The anti-apartheid movement frequently drew parallels between domestic segregation and Israeli policies. However, Washington viewed the legal case as a hostile action. Consequently, the administration demanded that South Africa withdraw the ICJ case. They also demanded that Pretoria distance itself from United States adversaries like Iran. South Africa refused to compromise its sovereignty, and as a result, the PEPFAR health partnership was phased out. While reducing public health aid, the United States expanded humanitarian assistance for the white minority. Executive Order 14204 directed agencies to prioritize resettlement for white South Africans. To implement this, the administration launched Mission South Africa. Standard processing backlogs were bypassed to establish fast-track systems in Pretoria and Johannesburg. In May 2026, the State Department requested that Congress raise the annual refugee cap. They sought to increase the limit to 17,500 slots. The plan specifically allocated 10,000 additional slots to white Afrikaners. This specialized program carries an estimated cost of $100 million. Refugee advocacy organizations have filed lawsuits protesting the decisions. They argue that the policy selectively prioritizes white applicants while blocking endangered refugees from other global conflicts. The reduction of PEPFAR funding has already damaged the South African medical system. The initial funding freezes in 2025 resulted in more than 8,000 health worker layoffs. In addition, 12 specialized clinics closed permanently. Rural areas have experienced the most severe disruptions. For example, the Othram Institute had to reduce its staff in the Limpopo province from 400 workers to 17. This reduction has decimated local HIV testing and tuberculosis treatment programs. Many community organizations provided critical health care for marginalized groups. The closure of these clinics increases the risk of viral transmission. Historically, marginalized populations have relied on external aid to bypass systemic barriers. The resilience of these communities mirrors the historic African-American resilience seen in the face of systemic neglect. Without replacement funding, the loss of clinical support will undo decades of progress. Progressive lawmakers and civil rights groups in the United States have condemned the funding cuts. The Congressional Black Caucus, CBC, has historically supported PFAR since its inception. Key members, including Representative Barbara Lee, were foundational to the creation of the program in 2003. Bipartisan coalitions have urged the administration to reject budget cuts targeting global health initiatives. They argue that tying life-saving medical aid to unrelated geopolitical issues is highly destructive. Furthermore, civil rights advocates warn that these actions will cause catastrophic healthcare disruptions in black communities abroad. They compare these political maneuvers to historical tragedies, such as how post-Civil War Reconstruction failed to secure long-term protections for vulnerable populations in the United States. Progressive leaders argue that global health programs must remain insulated from domestic culture wars. Apartheid was a state-enforced system of racial segregation and economic oppression in South Africa from 1948 to 1994, designed to legally privilege the white minority over the black majority. This system systematically locked the black majority out of business ownership, skilled work, and corporate leadership. Furthermore, it legally institutionalized racial classification and strict geographic segregation, forcibly displacing millions. Apartheid-era laws stripped black, colored, and Indian populations of basic political, social, and economic rights. Consequently, it concentrated the country's wealth, land, and resources in the hands of the white minority, leaving a legacy of deep systemic inequality. Afrikaners, historically referred to as Boers, are a South African ethnic group of European, primarily Dutch, descent, whose ancestors settled in southern Africa starting in the 17th century. Their heritage dates back to the establishment of Cape of Good Hope trading posts by the Dutch East India Company in 1652. Historically called Boers, which is the Dutch word for farmers, they established a distinct language called Afrikaans and a separate cultural identity. They fought colonial conflicts with the British and local African populations to establish independent republics. The Afrikaner-dominated National Party officially established the state-enforced system of apartheid in 1948 to ensure white minority rule. The white genocide narrative is a conspiracy theory alleging that white South Africans, particularly commercial farmers, are being targeted for systematic extermination and state-backed persecution. International human rights organizations, independent research bodies, and journalists have thoroughly debunked the claims as white nationalist conspiracy theories. Statistical analyses confirm that white South Africans are statistically less at risk of violent crime than other racial groups in the country. Independent inquiries have repeatedly found that the vast majority of violent attacks on commercial farms are motivated by robbery rather than racial hatred. Furthermore, demographic data shows that black farm workers and farm dwellers represent a significant portion of the victims of rural farm attacks. Black Economic Empowerment, BEE, later expanded into Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment, BBBEE, is a legislative affirmative action framework enacted to redress the economic exclusions and inequalities of the apartheid era. It uses a corporate scorecard system that measures businesses on five pillars: ownership, management control, skills development, enterprise and supplier development, and socioeconomic development. Compliance is incentivized by giving preferential treatment to highly rated BBBEE businesses in government procurement tenders and licensing processes. The policy encourages corporations to sell equity shares to black South Africans, hire black professionals into management, and buy from black-owned suppliers. Opponents label the program as discriminatory, leading to recent South African proposals to shift compliance mechanisms toward a transformation fund. The African National Congress, ANC, is the historic liberation movement and political party that has governed South Africa since the country's first democratic, non-racial election in 1994. It was famously led by anti-apartheid icons, most notably Nelson Mandela, who became South Africa's first democratically elected president. Originally founded in 1912, the ANC spearheaded the domestic and international struggle to dismantle the apartheid regime. It transitioned from a banned liberation movement to the country's dominant political party after the end of white minority rule. Under its governance, the party has prioritized policies to reverse apartheid-era inequalities, though it has faced ongoing criticism over economic growth and public sector management. Official statistics show that farm murders constitute a very small fraction of South Africa's overall violent crime, which is driven primarily by poverty, high crime rates, and robbery rather than racial animus. In the 2023-2024 financial year, 49 murders occurred on farms nationwide compared to 27,621 total murders across South Africa. Farm murders represent approximately 0.2% of all homicides in the country, showing they do not occur at a disproportionate rate compared to urban areas. Official South African Police Service statistics show that rural violence affects all farm residents. During a 2025 quarter, half of the victims killed on farms were employees and dwellers, not white landowners. Two major independent inquiries concluded there is no evidence of an orchestrated campaign targeting white farmers, with the vast majority of farm attacks being criminally motivated by robberies. Copyright, African Elements.